from John 10. We'll read verses 27 to 30. Jesus is speaking, and he says to us, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of my Father's hand. I and the Father are one." This is the word of the Lord. Amen. Please be seated. Over the last couple weeks, as we've looked at this chapter, we've seen that Jesus has been speaking about himself. He's been making a claim that he indeed is the Messiah, the promised Christ who would come. He's saying this in Jerusalem as he there is graciously affirming this truth, making this claim, and doing so in the face of opposition. He said he has shown us that both his word or his teaching and the things that he has been doing, which John calls his signs, have testified to the truth of the fact that he is the Christ. And those things have called us to faith in him. As we've said, Jesus, as he does this, is making this claim in the face of opposition. And the opposition against him is very strong in that day. Many were denying who he was, and that they were believing that there was no benefit at all that could be found in confessing him, no benefit that would come from following him. That to follow him was foolish, silly, harmful. Soon the disciples would themselves find out that following Jesus was fraught with danger, with many trials. But the opposition would continue to get more fierce, as Jesus would soon face even worse, the attack, the beating, the fierce opposition turning to suffering and even death. And one of the things I think the disciples would struggle with is it worth continuing to follow Jesus? Christians have struggled with that question throughout the ages. If you are a Christian this morning, it's probably because you have come to understand that Jesus has offered himself and come and proclaimed himself to be the Messiah. The forgiveness, that promised reconciliation with God would be found in him and in him alone. And so you've come to confess the faith. You've come to put your trust in Jesus. Perhaps you've been baptized in his name. That picture of being cleansed and washed from your sin because of what he has done on the cross. That picture of new clothing, his righteousness being put on you. Righteousness not of your own, but of his, as you're standing before the Father. And so you've made that profession of faith. You've put your trust in him, but then you continue to live your life. And you come to realize that though that has set such wonderful promises for the future, there are still so many struggles that you're going through, so many challenges that you're facing. And I wonder if you too at times begin to wonder, is it worth it? The discouragements and difficulties that I still struggle with, the struggles, the hardship, even now the ridicule that I might face for saying that I follow Jesus. Maybe as the culture gets more opposed, begins to redefine it as being unhealthy to have such confidence in such things. Maybe you're wondering, is it really worth it? When I'm wearing out in the things that I'm doing as I try to follow Christ, when I'm facing struggle, when I'm ridiculed at school or at work, is it worth it? If all it is that I have to wait until any blessing comes until some other time, future day, maybe even after my death. Is it worth it? Will blessing ever come? Is there any benefit to following Jesus for me? You know, I think here in these verses, one of the things that we find in the midst of this debate, in the midst of this challenge, in the midst of Jesus' proclamation of who he is that he takes a moment in his mercy and grace to recognize what his disciples will soon be struggling with, and he speaks a clear word of assurance. And he tells us that not only is he the source of eternal life, which he says here he gives, and that's a clear teaching here. He's saying that his work leads to eternal life, that blessing with God that is promised throughout the old covenant, that reunion, that cleansing, that washing. It comes from him alone as a gift. It's interesting, as you look at him speaking of this eternal life that's given, he speaks of it as a gift that he gives to us. It's not from our own work. It's not from our what we accomplish. It's not from us following certain rites and practices correctly. It's a gift that he gives. Life in his name, eternal life, that reunion, that fellowship, that peace, where everything works as it should, where we know God and he knows us, and we're welcomed like that picture in the garden there at the beginning of the Bible, where there's fellowship with God, where there's not condemnation, that it's a gift from him. But he also talks about that gift as a gift that, in a different sense, that here in verse 29, that it is a gift that the Father has given us, his people, to the Son. That we are a gift to the Son from the Father. And so it's secure. And so it is a real thing that we have when we have faith in Christ, this eternal life, this ongoing, continuing, everlasting life as it was meant to be, is ours. But he also tells us here in the way he speaks of it, something that I think is helpful as we face the ongoing challenges and struggles and begin to wonder, well, if that's true, but if I have to wait so long, I don't know if it's worth waiting. I don't know if I really see the benefit of trusting him. He says something here very important as he speaks about eternal life to those who follow him. He says it's not just a future promise for you, but it is a present reality. He doesn't say, I will give them eternal life. He says, I give them eternal life. Matthew Henry makes a bit of that when he says, this is a present reality of what he does, what he has given to you if you are connected, united to Christ today. But what I want to focus on in that present reality is that as he speaks about this eternal life, this gift that he gives to you, as you trust in him, he speaks of it in this beautiful language of, you are now in his hand. Is it worth it to follow Christ when you have to struggle, when others ridicule you, when you face challenges? You are in his hand if you are in Christ today. That's the present reality of all who are trust in him. And there is great benefit to that. And that's what I want us to take a few moments to recognize here and to consider. Jesus tells us that his people, that those here in verse 27 who hear and follow him, that Paul will speak of those who are in him, in Christ, those who have been united to Christ through faith, those who have been given by the Father to the Son, are those that he describes as being in his hand. That's an idiom that he uses that I think we, even in English, appreciate. He's saying we are under his care and in his keeping. It's a sign, and this language he's using speaks of the most personal attention, most personal care that I think you could describe. As he says, that is how you now, who are in Christ, that is how you are considered by him, a precious gift given to him by the Father, and one which he holds with great joy and attention. We were able last week to be out in Michigan with our oldest son and his family, and my son and his wife went away, and we kept the kids for a few days. And I was thinking about having someone under your care and in your keeping. And there's different ways that that can be expressed, isn't there? One time, I was doing dishes by the sink, and Bonnie was somewhere, and she said, "Hey, do you know where Teddy is?" He's one of our grandchildren, and I was like, "Yeah, he's fine. You know, he's in the yard playing." And he was under our care. We knew where he was, but yeah, I didn't see him at the moment. But I knew he was safe. He was being cared for by us. Our kids were in England, but we had them in our care, but he was out in the yard playing. He was fine. He was good. It was a safe yard, and he was just playing in the back. So that was an expression of our care, just knowing where he was and saying, "Yeah, that's a good place to be. Go ahead and just play." Later, Bonnie said, "Do you know where Eliza is?" I said, "Yeah, she's right there in the living room reading." And again, she was under our care. I could see her in that case. I wasn't sitting with her, but she was reading right there. I knew she was safe. She was enjoying the time. We were caring for her because we knew she was in a place that was fine. But then we came home, and this week, Mike and Anna came over, and I walked in. I was out, and I walked in. They were already there, and Ellie came running over, and I put her arms up, and I picked her up, and I was walking her around, and I was doing things, and I was showing her stuff, And again, someone said, "You know, hey, does anyone know where Ellie is? Eliza or Eliana is?" And I said, "Yeah, I've got her right here. I'm holding her." That was the expression of the closest care that you could give. In my arms, walking around, holding her as she would pick up something, say, "No, not that, but yeah, this is fine." Caring for her and bringing her along with me. And you see, it's that image that Jesus uses to speak. Not just, Matthew Henry will say it like this, Jesus is just saying that you're in his sheep pen, so you're safe. He's not just saying, "My eye is on you, so you're safe." He's saying, "You are in my hand." That most personal, close, positive expression of his care and keeping. And he says, "That is yours, all you who trust in him." Now, what I want to do is just for a few moments look at a couple things about the hand that keeps us. If he says we are in his hand, I want to consider what that means for a few minutes. Again, it's more of a meditation today, but something I hope is helpful to you. That's points 2 and 3. We are in his hand was point 1. 2 and 3 are about his hand that is helpful to remember as those who are under his care and keeping. Again, this is for all who are in Christ, those who have put their faith in him, those who are his sheep. He tells us that he has a strong hand. That's point 2. It is a strong hand that keeps you in his care. Some of you have not met Elmer. Some of you do remember Elmer. He hasn't been able to come to church for a while. Neither he or Pat can drive. He hasn't been well. Sometimes they are able to come. But if you know Elmer, if you remember Elmer, I hope you get to meet Elmer if you're new. But Elmer has a strong grip. He loves that he can grab you with a firm handshake. And that's a distinctive thing of Elmer, that he has a firm grip. He hasn't been well, and he was in the hospital and then rehab. He's back home, but I could tell he had turned a corner on Friday when we took dinner over to his house because he grabbed my hand and he squeezed it hard like he used to, and I could tell he was recovering. His grip was firm again, was coming back. He was strong, and it held on tightly. And Jesus, here in verse 28... is telling us that his grip is strong, so strong that those who are in his hand are safe and secure. If you are in his hand today, you are safe and secure. I give them eternal life. They'll never perish. Why? And no one will snatch them out of my hand. Nothing you face is able to wrest you from his hand. You see how he's aligning that to your salvation, that you cannot be lost if you are in his hand, for they are strong, and he will keep you. He doesn't imply that the enemies are gone when you come to faith, or that you'll never struggle or face challenge, but that He is able to keep you in the midst of everything you face because you are in His hand. It kind of reminded me of the safety that the Roman soldier found in that formation that's called the testudo or tortoise foundation. Do you remember? Have you studied that? Remember that? If they would lay a siege and they would get near a place of danger, they would have a certain formation where they would take shields and they would stand shoulder to shoulder and they would be able to raise them and put them down, and it would create a wall so that whenever arrows and spears would come raining down to try to harm and kill them, they would be safe under the shield barrier that they would create. It's well known in the tactics. Even today we remember how they did that. And it's a similar kind of thing that Jesus is saying, that you will face struggle and you will find that the opposition will be strong. You will continue to face challenges in your life. And yet, if as my hand is keeping you secure and safe from all attack, from all danger, safe and secure in all alarms, as the hymn teaches us to sing. We are safe when we are in His hands, safe from the attack of the evil one, safe from the dangers of life, trials through many dangers, toils, and snares. I have already come. His grace has brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me home. It's because we are in His hand. Personal care, watchful care, that we are secure. And Jesus is telling us here that it is His hand that in which we remain. But look at verse 29, because He also aligns it to that when we are in His hand, we are also in the hand of the Father. It's reminding us of the union and the connection that there is between He and the Father, as displayed in the salvation that He gives to us. They are united in purpose and intent toward us, His people. There's been a lot of debate about that verse 30 when he says about, if you're in my hand and so you're safe, you're in the Father's hand who's above all, so you're safe. I and the Father are one. What is He saying there as He says that? Is he saying really that He is like the Father, that they are one, like the confessions will state, that they are distinguishable, two persons, there's an I, there's a Father, they're distinct, and yet they are one in essence, equal in power and glory, same in substance, as the confessions teach us? Well, that is certainly consistent with what John teaches throughout this whole gospel, as he speaks from the very beginning that Jesus is the Word who was with God and was God and becomes flesh and lives among us. And throughout this, we've seen He's doing the work of the Divine One in our midst. And so, yes, that is consistent. In fact, even here, as soon as He says that, what is the reaction of those who are opposed to Him? It is they want to kill Him for blasphemy, because you, a man, claim to be God. So there is that in this statement, inherent in what He's saying. This union is so deep and connected, it's unique, that when He cares for us, we have the care of God. The Father is caring for us. But that's what He is focusing on here. The primary focus of why He says that here, it seems to me, is that He is reminding us of the union of intention and purpose of the Father to what He is saying and doing. That when you are in His hand and under His care, it is with the full backing and approval, but also the full care of the Father Himself. So that when you have that eternal life that comes from through Christ and being united to Him by faith, you have His care and you have the Father whom no one can overcome. So you're secure. The strong hand of God that has been displayed in salvation throughout history, bringing with a strong hand, bringing His people out of slavery into freedom. That is the care that you are receiving when you are united to Him through Christ. a strong hand able to save. Jesus not only is that for us, but he shows what it's like to trust that hand in the midst of facing challenges and difficulty, as he trusts his Father in the days ahead after speaking this, as he goes to the cross to purchase and to achieve our salvation. He faces suffering and challenge, his life slipping away because of the attack of the enemies. And he remembers, even in that moment, that he trusts his Father who is keeping him in his hand. And so even through death itself, he will be safe and secure with his Father. Then Jesus, calling out in a loud voice, Luke tells us in Luke 23:46, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And having said this, he breathed his last. Jesus seems to be remembering Psalm 31 there in those last moments before his death. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. It is a psalm that speaks of the trust and confidence of one who has had a life spent in sorrow, one who is sighing, whose strength is failing, whose bones are wasting away. The psalmist speaks of that being his condition and his situation, but still affirming that God has been faithful and that he is in the hands of God, so he commits his life in his hand, into the hands of the Father. And Jesus is living out that psalm as even there on the cross, as he's in the flesh, as the psalm goes on to say, "I have been forgotten like one who is dead. I have become like a broken vessel, for I hear the whispering of many, terror on every side." Think of Jesus there on the cross as they're crying out to him. You said God can deliver you. Let him call on him. Let him come down. Call Elijah. Let him help. "They scheme together against me as they plot to take my life." Psalm 31, verse 14. "But I trust in you, O Lord. I say, you are my God. My times are in your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors." It's that psalm from which he's quoting there in the Psalms, there on the cross, remembering the context of that psalm, the midst of the danger, the midst of the opposition, even death. "Yet my times are in your hands. And so into your hands I commit my spirit, Father." And so in that confidence, he dies. He gives his life for us in faith, relying on his Father's hand. And we see how that proves to be a reliable hand, a strong hand, who with the power of the resurrection brings him from the dead, raises him to new life, as that is displayed the care and careful watch of the Father over his Son, who completing the work, then death does not keep him. And you see, so it will prove true for all who are in the hand of the Son, in the hand of the Father. "Come, ye sinners, poor and wretched, weak and wounded, sick and sore, Jesus stands to save you, full of pity, joined with power. He is able, he is able, he is able. He is willing, doubt no more. He is willing, doubt no more." It is a strong hand which keeps you. But there's a second aspect here I just want to take a moment to consider as well. As he says that we are in his hand, it is a strong hand that holds you if you are trusting him in Christ. It is also a sure hand who keeps you in his care. Jesus is saying here in these verses that his hand is sure. But no one is able to take you out of his hand. No one is able to take you out of the Father's hand because it is strong, but also because it is sure. It is skillful. You can trust what he is doing in your life, even right now, even if you don't understand what he is doing. You can trust it because his hand is capable and sure. It is skillful, like the hand of a master craftsman, like the hand of an artist. Barb and Joe were in Italy recently, came back and in Florence, and Barb has been posting pictures of some of Michelangelo's sculptures on Facebook. And she's been talking about the stunning skill of Michelangelo's sure hand as he carves marble into these beautiful display of the human body and all its fullness and all its detail in this hard marble. Skillful hand. One wrong strike could lop off an arm or mar a face. And yet, Michelangelo, with a sure hand, sculpts and cuts away, keeps, forms this beautiful image that he brings out of this chunk of marble. I imagine if you watched him doing it, there were times during the sculpting process that you would have no idea what he was doing, where he seems to make a mess of this stone. You wouldn't know where he was heading or what was happening, why he did this or did that. It looks like it's an error. It looks like he messed up. And yet, as he continues on, you see this beautiful form, beginning to get more and more perfect in its expression. But the same is true, I believe, of the hand of the one in whom we are under his care. It is a skillful hand. It is a sure hand. And when he says that no one can snatch you out of that hand, he's not only letting you know that you're safe and secure, but he's also telling you that every situation in life that you face, even though you don't understand what is happening at times, is an aspect and a part of his care. You are still in his hand. Even as you face trial and struggle and difficulty. I love the old Geneva Bible translation into English of Psalm 55:22. Psalm 55:22 in the Geneva Bible, which was an older English version back in the 1599, translates that verse like this: "Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall nourish thee. He will not suffer the righteous to fall forever." The NIV, the ESV both translated that final phrase well. He will never let the righteous fall. He will never permit the righteous to be moved. But I love how it's captured by there in the Geneva Bible. He will not suffer. That's an old word for he will not allow the righteous to fall forever. I think that's a beautiful picture because it's a picture of here is the skillful craftsman who you are in his hand, there are moments when it feels like you're falling and you don't understand what God is doing, and the situations just don't seem like they fit what the Bible promises, and yet he will not let that moment continue forever because you're in his skillful hands that he's using even that moment to shape you into his glorious image. But you will not fall forever. The only fall you may fall might be by your own mistake or messing up. It might be by situations around. But in it all is the master craftsman who's using every situation and moment in your life to shape you into the image of his son and to do exactly what he intends to do, to make you shine to his glory and praise. And so you can know that you are in the sure hand if you are in Christ today. The hand that is sure, who keeps you in his care. Again, Jesus not only provides that for us, but he showed us what that looks like in his own life there in the garden, didn't he? just before his crucifixion and death. He knew what was ahead for him, painful, horrible death. And yet he knew that that would not, could not end his Father's care for him, but was part of all that was intended that would lead to both his glory and the joy of all the people of God. And so, recognizing the trouble that was ahead, he took a moment not only to pour out his heart and concern and his fear and anxiety to the Father, and to cast his burden, as Psalm 20:55 says, to cast his burden on the Father himself, but to reflect and to remember the sure hand in which he lived and existed. Father, I don't want this to come. Let this cup pass from me if there's any way possible. The suffering, the sorrow, the pain, I don't in my flesh want that to come. But nevertheless, not as I will, but your will be done, Father. I know you love me. I know I can trust what you are doing. And so I commit my life into your hand. If you are in this hand today, nothing you face is random or without purpose. Though you can't see why you must go through this season of life, why face this ridicule, why face this trouble that you're facing in your career and at school, yet if you are in Christ, the promise here is that you are not out of his care, but are, even in the midst of those things, in his sure hand. The master craftsman is at work, and he is continuing to shape and use even these things, not only for his glory, but for your good, that you will shine to his glory. Are you facing difficulty, ridicule at school, at work? Remember, you are in his sure hand, strong but sure hand. Troubles just seem to multiply in your life. If you are in Christ, you are in his sure hand. Are you confused right now? Disappointed? Wearing out? Wondering what it's all for? You are in his sure hand. And trust yourself to him. Are you in a hard season of life? You have to do things you don't want to do, or your body's not working the way you wish it would, yet you are in his sure hand. Trust in him, for he is strong and he is sure. And in Christ you can know you are in his care. And so here we have Jesus, the Good Shepherd, who gives us eternal life, but that's just not something later, something in the future, but it is his care expressed to you today, in his hand, a strong and sure hand, safe and secure, being formed into his image by a hand which is sure and steadfast and skillful. So when you're afraid, when you're worried, when you're confused about what he's doing, remember, you can say, "Yet I trust in you, O Lord. My times are in your hand. My sheep know my voice, hear my voice. I know them, they follow me. I give them eternal life. They will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father who has given them to me is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Father, we thank you for the security and the confidence that we have in life. Not because we always know the right steps, not because we always know how what we are doing will end, not because we even like the situations we're in, but because we know we have a hand that is guiding us and holding us, loving us and caring for us. And that hand is strong and that hand is sure. And so we entrust ourselves to you in life and in death, knowing that we have eternal life if we are in the Son. Give us that confidence today in the challenges and the struggles and the joys of the week ahead. For we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.